Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
This is NoBS, John Search Advice Radio, episode 1522. I'm your host, Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome, welcome. I'm going to do my Dracula voice now. Woo! And this is a show continuing my Sunday theme for 2019. Previous interviews that I've done for my old show, Job Search Radio, which I discontinued a while back. But the content from there is really very good. And this show is an interview I did with a woman named Peggy Collins. And it's about help not being a four-letter word. Hope you find this helpful. Hope you give it a great review. And with that, let's get going, okay?
So my guest on this show is career coach and neighbor, Peggy Collins. And Peggy, welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you on board.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And I couldn't help but notice, as we were preparing for this show, your email address. The domain is a wonderful domain, especially given our topic. HelpisnotaFourLetterWord.com. What a great domain title.
Oh, thank you.
How did you come up with that name, and why is help so difficult for job hunters in particular?
Well, Jeff, first of all, that's the title of my book, Help is Not a Four-Letter Word, Why Doing It All is Doing You In. And I think we can certainly apply that to job searchers, because as I work with them week in and week out, I find that, you know, we have a cultural value that says asking for help is a weakness. I don't know if you grew up with that.
Are we going to go into the story about how men never ask for directions now? Is that it?
You know, I tell you what, I do a speech on this around the country and on my book, and what I usually say is men invented the GPS just so they would never have to ask for directions.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And women as well. You know, I have a lot of people coming into my workshops, and I always give them some of the foundational pieces that I think I'll talk about today. And I always ask that question, can you ask for help? And I'm always surprised at how many can't.
And I'm sure many of them say, sure, no problem, I could ask for help. And then applying it and putting it into practice is something completely different.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
As we talk about networking and you know, talking about the foundations of great networking, where's the starting place for most people?
Without question, it's understanding the power of people. And here's what I mean by that, Jeff. There was a 1967 study done, you may be familiar with it, that showed us we can get to anyone in the world in 6 contacts or less. And I think that's so powerful. I don't think people understand how powerful it is when they walk into a group of, let's say, 5 people, because the other fact that came out of that study is that each of us in 1967, for those around who were around, each of us knew between 500 and 1,000 people. So I'm wondering what the number is today, because no study has been done. Can you imagine with Facebook and LinkedIn what the numbers would be?
It's going to be so much easier to get in touch with people. You know, when all is said and done, how much effort would it take to find Barack Obama? You know, joking aside.
Oh, yes, and it's fun to do. As a matter of fact, I do a people power exercise where I do that very thing. I ask people, you know, we don't use 6, we use 3. We can get to somebody in 3 contacts or less. If you can get to Barack Obama or you know somebody that can, would you please stand up? And it's amazing what happens. I just love that exercise.
And what's fun about it is, as a recruiter, as I am, it's absolutely true. You can get to someone in 3 tops, 4 steps.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that easy these days.
I know.
So, So you're talking about the power of the network and taking advantage of it and reaching out to folks in your immediate network for support. And that goes back to that web address in your book. Help is not a four-letter word.
So it does.
When you're asking for help, what do you say? What makes it more palatable for someone to open up and say, I could use your help?
Jeff, there are many ways to approach that. And I think as I coach clients, I tell them that I'll give them the idea and let them put it into their style because we all say things a little differently. But getting to know somebody and creating a relationship makes that person a part of your network if you have the same values and goals. And so if we're talking with someone like that, that you come across at a party, you already know them, you do have a relationship, there is some trust and credibility that exists between the two of you, then I think a wonderful lead-in is, if you'd like to help, here's what you could do. How does that sound?
I love that because it's not making the demand.
Exactly. It's very soft. It gives people a back. And when I talk a little bit later about how our listeners can take control of their searches through networking, I'll come back to that again because that's the way you lead into taking control.
So could you say that one more time? So
I'd be happy to. If you're willing, here's what you could do to help.
Lovely. I really like that. So they now reach out and they make that request. Actually, you said you'd speak about that later. So what's the second part of the foundation for the job hunter in a networking campaign?
I think in a networking campaign, they need to develop excellent listening and questioning skills. Instead of talking in the conversation the most, you and I know the famous elevator speech, but once they have let the person know their background and so forth, then knowing how to ask really open-ended questions and getting that person talking so you can have some sense, particularly if you haven't met them before, you can listen for how diverse their network is or how focused, all those kinds of things that we need to know.
Now, I want to start here by, or pause here by saying, I'm not a big fan of the traditional elevator pitch.
Nor am I. I'm glad to hear you say that.
It's 30 seconds of vomiting all over someone, and who wants to have that happen to them?
I agree with you.
I'd rather... as you're describing it, have the two of you have the natural conversation and then conclude by saying, I want to continue this conversation because it was really interesting. Is there a time or date or time where we could pick up with one another? And then just have the natural flow of that conversation lead into the discussion of work. But to just simply say, hi, I'm one of those grand and glorious people who can do anything you want me to do. These pitches say is just awful to me. Absolutely.
Well, you and I are on the same page because actually the meetings that they call networking meetings, I call auditions because I don't think you're actually networking until you're starting to build a relationship. And so I always coach people on the next day after they've had a chat with someone to get some idea whether they're, as I said, have the same goals and values, then to set up a coffee and say, let's get together and see if we can help each other. Now we're back to that help word.
And we all know it's not a four-letter word, right, everyone?
That's right. That's right.
So you're now setting up the in-person meeting. That's really the continuation of the elevator or brief meeting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of things, how should the conversation flow for people at that point?
Well, again, I think to get the other person talking and say, tell me what's happening with you and what's going on and let's just get acquainted and then doing that in return. Overall, talking about your personal life, your children, business, anything, because you are at a foundational stage of building a relationship.
And one of the things I find, Peggy, is that so often people dive into that "can you help me" thing way too early.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know,
and that's why I say, you know, I think the meeting is the audition for knowing whether or not you want to ask the person a coffee.
Right. And it's kind of like in the bar pickup scene, which I know I haven't been in 100 years. You know, there used to be the classic mockery of the guy who would walk over to every woman in the bar and ask if they would come home with him every night. And that's really the way those kinds of meetings are, where you immediately dive in and start asking, any jobs you can introduce me to?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why would
And I think, really, Jeff, you make a good point on that, too, because I think the mistake that job searchers make, particularly new ones that have just started their searches, is to think that that is the way to do it. And we have to remember that trust has to be built in a relationship before someone is going to be willing to introduce you to the most powerful person in their network.
We agree wholeheartedly. And folks, we're going to be back with more from Peggy in just a moment, but first my job search insider tip for this show, which is about your resume. And you know, I could talk with you in detail about how to write a great resume, and maybe I'll do that on a later show, but I want to give you the single most important thing you need to do before submitting your resume to an organization. Now, if you've seen an ad, or if you're in a networking scenario and someone's spoken to you about a job, or they've reached out to you through LinkedIn or some other online medium and said, "Hey, your background looks interesting, saw your profile here, looks great." So here's the most important thing you need to do. You have to see how your existing resume matches up with what you've been told the firm is looking for. Now, if you've got an ad, it's easy because it's all spelled out there. If you've been reached out to through LinkedIn or some other way, you ask the person who's reaching out, tell me about the role that's involved and what you're looking for. Same thing with an in-person one. But when all is said and done, what you need to do is make sure that your resume makes the fit obvious that you're qualified to do this job. So that's easy. It's just a tweak that you need to do to make sure it incorporates the value points that have been mentioned in those conversations. So that's my tip for this show. If you're interested in more, come over to my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. Go exploring, because I've got hundreds of videos, hundreds of articles, podcasts of this show there, that you know, content that you can watch, listen to, or read that will help you find work more quickly. So, again, the site is thebiggamehunter.us. Let's pick up with Peggy now and continue our conversation about networking. So what's next for folks? You know, they've set up the in-person meeting is one thing. They're asking for help. What else should people be doing as part of their networking campaign?
Jeff, I loved your tip, by the way. Right on there, as far as I'm concerned, too. And I think that the job searcher needs to sit down and construct a networking plan before he or she starts to meet with individuals so that they establish some targets and some goals. It's more work, because I think a lot of networking sources make it look like you just go and meet people all the time and don't really put them into a slot anyplace.
That's interesting. A networking plan. Could you speak more about that?
Yes, I'd be happy to, because that really leads into how I think job searchers take control of their job searches. You and I both know, Jeff, that some people go online and just stay there because that's their comfort zone. They know how to operate a computer and look for the sites, and they sit there and fill out applications all day. And there's absolutely no control with that. I know that that may be a source for a job for them. So I always encourage what I call a three-way street, and that is the online search is one portion of it. Other tactics like approaching a recruiter such as yourself, which certainly has a little bit more control. And then the third way is to network. And in networking, you have total control. Now, it's a lot more work to do it, but you start out with a networking plan where you've evaluated your skills, your experience, what you want to do, where you best fit, and within an area, if you're doing a local search, then you can decide how far you're willing to drive. If you're doing a national search, you can do cities where you'd like to live or cities where you think those jobs exist, and then start to target organizations that fit what you've put together. And now you have targets, and so that's the most important part of your networking plan, because you're going to ask your network, if you're willing, here's what you could do to help. Would you look at my target list and see if you know anybody inside one of these organizations?
Interesting. And how do you select those target organizations? I'll use an example. Someone is in technology in the Washington, D.C. area working for the government, and they're thinking of moving to Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I somehow suspect a lot of what they research is going to have a fantasy component to it. By that I mean they really know nothing about these firms other than whatever the brand name is that they're associated with these companies.
Right.
So going past the brand, is there something you would suggest that they start asking their network about?
Well, first of all, the next portion of the plan is, Jeff, is to do research. And when you say Austin, Texas, I immediately think of Dell. That's headquartered in Austin. So, you know, take Dell if that's on their list and do some thorough research and make sure that there is a position within Dell that not only interests them, but, you know, maybe a possibility. We have to keep in mind as we do this that 60 to 70% of the jobs are hidden.
60% of the, it's fascinating because I hear that statistic all the time. And folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, 60% really translates into unadvertised. They're unpromoted in any way, and you can only get at them through networking.
Right.
I mention on this show regularly, 70% of all jobs are filled through networking. And of that, 70% of the 70% are filled as a result of contacts that you make in the course of your networking, and you're introduced to someone that you didn't know at the beginning of your search.
Mm-hmm.
Catch that one. 49% of all positions are filled by someone that you didn't know at the beginning. So it is so important to get out there and start talking to folks.
Well, it really is. And as I said, I think the more that you can direct them, there was once upon a time I called this directed networking. The more that you can direct them in, and this is not to say, Jeff, that I don't always ask the client to do a cleanup question like, have you thought of anything else while we've been talking? Because you're talking to intelligent folks. But if you can lead them toward your target, they also have an idea now of the type of thing you're looking for.
So the way that's languaged is by asking them.
Well, as I said earlier, you know,
the question.
Yeah, if you're talking, you know, I certainly suggest this can be done either in a group sort of way where you're doing an email to a group, or it can be done individually where you're saying you've already talked to the point where the person knows you're in a job search and they say, well, you know, what are you looking for? And so you can respond, well, if you're willing, here's what you could do to help. And then you pull out a target list of the organizations that you have targeted. You've researched them. You know there may be a position in that company with your name on it, but it hasn't been advertised, and you need to get into that company to the hiring manager for that position or the position that would be and see if they have something on the drawing board. Occasionally they're letting go of somebody, you know, and so forth and so on, and then you're off and running.
Agreed. And it's always about asking for help.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
So you start asking for help, and if you're willing, I love that introduction, if you're willing, would you be willing to look at my list and see if you might know of someone at one of these firms? Great starting place. And they say, no, I don't know anyone. I know as a recruiter, I'm trained to ask, do you know of someone who maybe might know someone?
That's exactly the same thing that I say too, yeah. So they take a guess, and sometimes their guess is right on. And Jeff, while we're at this, something I'd love to clarify. I haven't said this, but I know I can tell that you agree. Most people, you know, the reason we're asking for help is because I hope that our listeners believe that for the most part, people are good and they want to help. But job searchers have a tendency to say to their networks, here's what I'm looking for. Let me know if you hear something. And that is putting the responsibility actually on your networker to find you a job. But in taking control, as I've said before, and directing what you're asking of them, you're capitalizing on the fact that most people are good and they want to help. They just need directions.
And being as specific as you're talking about, goes, it's so much more helpful, so much more specific to focus their mind in on something rather than the general type of question.
Jeff, go ahead.
I was saying we're on the same page with this.
Good. Well, you know, when before I became a professional speaker and job search coach, I was in sales and marketing and utilized this very same technique. And so I can tell you that it's ironclad, it's guaranteed, it has worked for me for many years.
Beautiful. So what's next for folks? Let's say they get a lead now. What's the next step they take?
It depends on whether it's a local lead or whether they're doing a national search. If it's a local lead, I coach clients to call the person the name has been given to them in the firm. If they can ask the referring person what title that person holds, then that gives them an indication of whether that is really the person they need to talk with or do they need to network inside the firm to get to that person. So let's say Jim has referred or given the client the name Jerry inside the company. And we're not sure, you know, what his title is. So our client calls Jerry and says, Jerry, Jim gave me your name. I understand you two have been friends for a long time. And Jerry said, yeah, how is he? And you go off on all that. And then when it comes back to why you're calling, I would love to be able to come up and just visit with you a few minutes. I am not sure who I need to talk with in your company, and I promise I won't take very much time. But what I will do is drop off a resume so you'll have a name with a face, and I'll spend 10 minutes or whatever. And I think that's important to name the amount of time because everybody just has so much to do that time is valuable.
Agreed. And it was interesting. I got a message from someone asking me about how to respond to a LinkedIn inquiry. So in this particular case, a woman was networking with someone and connected on LinkedIn. The person looked at her profile and said, you know, there's a job here that's got your name on it. And it was a little bit more sophisticated than that, but it translated into there's a job here with your name on it. And her question was, how do I respond in cases like that? And I said, other than jumping up and down, being excited,
yes.
You start off by asking about the job. And then assuming, and this is to be determined, would you be willing to introduce me to the hiring manager? If it's a yes, perhaps what you might do is, if your organization, let's use the example of Dell, is large enough, meet for lunch at the cafeteria, invite the manager to stop by for a few minutes, give you the once-over, start an initial conversation, and then from there arrange for a further conversation, kind of like that elevator scenario we discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stop by, say hello, chat for 10 minutes, and then schedule time so you can get that third person out of the mix once they've made the introduction.
Exactly. Kind of I think that's what you've described is a wonderful way to approach it.
Good. Now, I know I've been talking a lot, and I want to make sure you have ample time because we've only got a finite amount of time with one another. So I want to make sure you cover all the basics and a couple of your advanced ideas as well. So I'm going to hand the baton back to you to run with for a little bit here, okay?
Well, cut me off because I could talk about this for 3 days. I have a template that I would like to describe to our listeners, and if they have a piece of paper or they can do this mentally, just put a 1, 2, 3 across the top of the page, 1 on the left-hand side, 3 on the right-hand side, and 2 in the middle. And look at the 1 as 1 deep in networking terms, and that is your network. Your network would be anyone who really knows your name, but it moves forward where you have circles of influence and you have a core group. And that core group are those that know you the best, that you have trust and credibility with, that you're continuing to grow. Now, on 3 deep, I would recommend you list your targets. And the more the better. This is a numbers game. The more opportunities you can pursue, the better chances that you might find that hidden job. And let me say this. I also recommend that you use targets for applications that you filled out online, because one of the ways to make yourself different is to also network into that organization, have a resume taken to the hiring manager, and you're different, better than the stack. So, number 2 would be vendors of your targets, because I know Jeff agrees with this. Vendors are some of your best networking contacts. And so
and consultants, by the way.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Thank you for that. Coaches as well. So you can go to your network now and you can say, if you're willing, here's what you can do to help. And if you're emailing this, you can say, I've attached a target list of the organizations I'm interested in. I've also attached a list of vendors that supply those organizations. Would you look and see if you know anyone inside either of these lists? Because if you network into a vendor, then if your industry targets are pretty universal in terms of the industry, then those vendors can network you into more than one target, so that's really valuable. And then I do the cleanup question on the network. Have you thought of anything else? Who else do you think I should talk with? And those names go on that number 2 list also. And so what we found over time is this. On that 1, 2, 3 template, the jobs start being found at 3 deep. And so to ask your network to let me know if you find something, the possibilities aren't great unless they're willing to go swimming for that level 3 deep. And I've had clients get jobs at 4, 5, 6, even 1 at 8 deep, which is just incredible to me. So I hope I've explained that template enough where you understand that this is the science behind what you're doing when you network very effectively.
I'm going to ask for one clarification.
Yes.
I think everyone will understand the 1, 3, and the 2. How does it get to 8?
People are passing you along, and what makes that so remarkable is, let's say you get to 3, to the person, you get to Jerry, and Jerry said, Jeff, I'm not the person you really need to be talking with. And you probably wouldn't have gotten this name if you'd researched anyway, because we have somebody new. So I'm going to network you to him. And then he visits with you and says, I really want to hang on to your resume, but we don't have anything right now, not even on the drawing board. And so you ask that question, who else do you think I should talk with? And he refers you to somebody with another company, and now you're off and running toward 8. And what makes that so remarkable, Jeff, is after you've utilized your own person, that was Jim in the very beginning at 1, where you knew that person, you had some credibility with, you're establishing rapport in these meetings to such an extent that these people that you've just met are willing to pass you along. And that's why the client that got a job at 8 out, I just thought that was so remarkable.
Beautiful. It's exactly the way I, as a recruiter, go about networking to organizations and to get people. It's the ever-popular, who do you know who? Would you be willing to help me here? and asking for that next link in the chain that might get you a little bit closer to that person who's going to fit the job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We are coming up on the end of our time with one another. Is there any one additional tip, any biggie that you haven't gotten to yet that we have to cover today?
Well, as I said, I don't know if this is additional, but I would emphasize it, that when you network in this fashion, you are taking control of your search, and it's balancing the not having control when you're going online. But the major thing we haven't talked about at all, Jeff, is follow-up. Follow-up is everything. And map out a great follow-up plan, because you're going to have to document every single thing. And I always ask clients to let the person suggest to them how often they're going to follow up. I don't want to be a pest, but I want to stay in touch. How often could I call you and not be? And let them tell you. The biggest lesson I've learned about all this is that people support what they help create.
Beautiful. And you're so right about the follow-up. You know, one of my first books that I wrote was an organizer designed to do exactly that. And it's called Get Your Job Search Organized Now. Now, it has a financial planning component to it, but a lot of this is about tracking activity. From the time I wrote that till now, it's become a lot easier because almost everyone has a smartphone these days, and there are tons of great apps that allow you to program follow-up contacts so that you don't make a mistake and miss an appointment. Use those kind of apps to schedule the follow-up, make it automatic and easy for yourself, and do follow up. And don't just dive right into the, hi, anything new? You got a job for me yet? Part of the conversation. Always make it about them first. Always make it about, you know, your care for them and their circumstances and how they're doing first. Put them always in the first position and you in the second. Because after all, the more they talk, the more they like you.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few more ways to get more from me. First of all, visit my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. I have more than 6,000 blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read that will help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join JobSearchCoachingHQ.com, where I've curated information with a focus on interviewing. If you decide to take the lifetime membership at the site, it's $299 currently, but that's the price of a coaching session or an hour of coaching from me, and I'll be giving that to you if you join with a lifetime membership. Have a few questions? Contact me through the Magnify app for iOS or PrestoExperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, scheduling in time for Magnify or Presto Experts. Speak with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help you with a salary negotiation or my trusted advisor services, and much, much more. Like you, I don't work for free. I do charge for what I do. You can take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands and thousands of courses, not just simply mine, on a host of different subjects that can help you in many different ways. Lastly, join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 250 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're attempting to build a supportive group there. Ask to join. I'm not letting recruiters in at this point. So I'll be back tomorrow with more, and in the meantime, I hope you have a great day. Be great!
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.